We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
No.
The Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. I'm joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, Rohan Kadi, here to dive deep. Finally, this is the first time we've had a whole pod strictly about the Greek national team after a pair of exciting World Cup qualifiers we'll get into against Serbia and against Belgium. But first, more importantly, Rohan, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here. You know what else is good, Ty?
What's that?
We have a new podcast on GSPN, don't we?
Not just one. Not just two. No, two. It is two. It's not more than two. Yeah.
So we've got Talk of the Tundra. We've got GSPN's Green Bay Packers podcast that just launched, hosted by our guy Newmock. You're going to expect to see two pods a week after every game and previewing every game. Just check out that feed, Talk of the Tundra. And also, we have Make Time for This, which is another podcast channel, a part of the GSPN family. We have welcomed Adam McGee and Andrew Snyder's movie podcast and TV show podcast, Captured on Celluloid, that is now part of the GSPN family. And you'll see other stuff on that feed occasionally.
The streets are saying we need to do a super Choose Your Fighter pod on that feed every so often. Let's see. I don't know. We'll see. We have had some good ones that I think probably we talked enough that it could have been its own episode. So we'll see about doing that. But very excited for both of those. Please go wherever you're listening slash watching this show. At least Talk of the Tundra is going to be dual cast and audio and video. And we're working on Cruising and all the other shows, Win in Six and Make Time for This. So be sure to subscribe on YouTube or your podcast platform of choice. Actually, both. Just go ahead, double up, and please rate and review, especially as we get Talk of the Tundra, a brand new show, started. It really helps us out if you could give a 5-star rating and review on Apple or a 5-star rating on Spotify. Tell everyone you've ever met, etc., etc. Help support your friends here at GSPN.
Yeah, and especially with the Packers season coming up in just about a week here, like a week and a half?
13 days.
13
Two
days.
2 weeks minus 1 day.
Sure. But yeah, make sure you are in tune for that because it's great stuff. There's already a few episodes up. Ty, you were on an episode with Newmont.
Yeah.
Good times talking preseason.
Yeah, thank God it's over. Preseason, it's fun watching football. I'm really excited for week one and to be a semi-regular fixture on that show. But, man, there's only so many Danny Etling snaps you can watch before it's like, okay, I've seen enough preseason now. You know, it's fine. It was fine. Watching Jordan Love is interesting. Some of the defensive guys, you know, were fun to watch. Heflin, my guy, but ready for the real games, to say the least. Ready for Aaron Rodgers, at least on the field.
Yeah, off the field. What was he on? He was on Joe Rogan, right?
Yeah, Joe Rogan, and pardon my take, he's doing a whole circuit.
Come on, talk of the Tundra, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, we'll have it. We'll sit down with A-Rod for 3 hours.
3 hours? That's a long time. Newmock's got that.
Newmock could easily. That would just be part one.
Let's talk actual Greek national team stuff.
Yeah.
So this past week, we saw the Greek national team take part in games that actually matter. Previously, we had seen sort of friendlies, two friendlies against Spain. Then we'd seen the Acropolis tournament, which I guess matters. But these games, these were two FIBA World Cup qualifying games. This was one of the windows. I think it was window 7, I believe. I could be wrong.
It's complicated because they're broken into different groups and different rounds, but that sounds right.
Yeah, it was a qualifying window, and this was a very important qualifying window as both teams had their star NBA players, and this is probably going to be the only time they see that for this World Cup qualifier. So we had Greece, obviously, had Thanasis, they had Giannis, they had just everyone that you would expect, and Team Serbia, they had Jokic, Nikola Jokic, reigning back-to-back MVP. So this was a titanic matchup between Greece and Serbia. You had the last four NBA MVPs sharing the court and going at each other in games that meant something to their countries. Like Greece was 3-1, and after this game they lost. They're 3-2 in qualifying. Serbia was 1-3, moves to 2-3, and these are two teams that are going to be competing against each other for that spot in the FIBA World Cup. So this was it was a big game, wasn't it, Ty?
It was a huge game, and I think more important for Serbia than it was Greece because, as you mentioned, there's been multiple qualifying windows already, and most of them without the NBA guys. So Greece fared better than Serbia in those other windows. As you mentioned, Greece came in 3-1. Serbia came in 1-3, so really not in great shape to qualify for the FIBA World Cup, despite – you know, really, I think being one of the premier basketball powerhouses in Europe, Serbia had some work to do, and they played like it. I mean, this game, I think, was always going to be intense in Belgrade, so in Serbia. Really, you know, people always say the European crowd energy is different. I still need to see a game in person, but it did feel that way just watching. I mean,
And especially Serbia, like, yeah, has been considered like the most intense out of, like, you mentioned European crowds are intense. Well, Serbia takes that to a whole new level.
Yeah, they certainly did. I mean, you could feel it through the stream, right? And, you know, the pressure was high. They were getting to watch Jokic versus Giannis, which everybody wanted to watch. And, you know, the Greek/Bucks contingent may have some thoughts about the officiating. I don't want to get too deep into that. I will say, I think Giannis and Jokic played at fairly similar levels. Giannis's box score ends up more impressive. He also played significantly more minutes. So in 40 minutes for Giannis. I thought Gilbert Arenas said he only plays 28 minutes, Rohan. What's going on here? Must be a misprint. No further comment on Gil. But
oh, okay, yeah. Enough
people have covered it.
Let's get it out of the way now. Gil, you're an idiot.
Enough
you're
people.
Dumb.
It's
like if we're just shouting
it.
Things that are wrong. Yeah. Like, by the way, like here's my take on Gilbert Arenas in a take that Gilbert Arenas would approve of. Gilbert Arenas, you were never good at basketball. You were never actually worth anything on the basketball court. Were you even an NBA player? Who knows? Who remembers you? Again, these are things that are clearly wrong. Yeah. I think I made as compelling an argument as Gilbert Arenas did, if I'm just saying things that are wrong, right?
You know, some people may have pointed out that Giannis accomplished more than Gil did in his entire career by the time he turned 25. Maybe this would be like me saying, you know what, Bill Simmons? I don't think you know how to do podcasting. You should take some tips from me. A couple hundred thousand people tuning in per episode. I don't find that compelling. I don't know if you've seen our reviews. They're very good. So I'm just going to give you some tips on how to do this effectively.
He won a championship. Cool. Gilbert Arenas, you won one playoff series. One. The most famous thing you're known for is bringing a gun to a locker room.
Maybe we should stop dissing Gil then. If that's his main accomplishment, this sounds like it's getting to a James Johnson level for us pretty quickly.
I'm more scared of James Johnson than Gilbert Arenas. And Gilbert Arenas, you should take that offensively.
Rohan, you have no chill. Okay. Giannis, anyway, plays 40, a little over 40 minutes. Scores 40 points. Shoots 56% from the field. Very Giannis, 28.6% from three, but 71% from free throw, 10 for 14, plus 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 fouls, 3 turnovers, 2 steals. So a jam-packed game for Giannis. Again, scores 40 and 40. Meanwhile, Nikola Jokic in 30 and a half minutes, scores 29. So basically matches the point-per-minute scoring, but he shoots 68.8% from the field, 69% from two, 66.7% from three. Surprisingly, Jokic is the worst free throw shooter in the game, 5 for 10 from free throw, but adds 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 turnovers, 1 steal. No fouls on Jokic, which again, you know, some people had some thoughts on the officiating. I think that's worth mentioning. Funny enough, both teams lost the superstar minutes. Jokic was -4, Giannis was -1. I think this game came down to the Serbian supporting cast was just much better than the Greek supporting cast. I think, you know, you could say Giannis won. I think that's fair. I still think it's kind of a wash. I mean, Giannis was overall more productive, was able to play more, but Serbia won anyway. I think Jokic maybe plays more if Serbia doesn't hold a solid lead for a lot of this game. The fact that Greece pushed it into overtime, I thought was really impressive, considering Serbia did shoot. I think you mentioned this before. Before we started recording, 11 for 20 from three, 55%. Like, they just weren't missing. Meanwhile, Greece makes 12 threes, but took 35 attempts. They shoot 34% from three. So I think you could argue the officiating wasn't going Greece's way. The shots falling surely were not. Serbia made some pretty ridiculous shots, including a Jokic turnaround over an extended Giannis that just, like, defies all logic. I think it was for three,
too. He took a one-legged Dirk fade from three.
Yeah, and it went in.
It's ridiculous.
Like, something going on there for Serbia. You could tell they knew they really needed it. They played well. Yarmaz, I believe his name is, had 15 points on 3 for 4 from both 2 and 3. Lucic had 14 points. They just had a lot of contributions. Meanwhile, Greece, outside of Tyler Dorsey and Thanasis, nobody scored more than 8 points, which just needed more contribution from some of these other players to keep up with a well-rounded Serbia team.
Yeah, and it's also important to mention that both teams lost important players in this game. Serbia lost Vasilije Micić to a knee injury, ankle injury.
Ankle. He couldn't put any weight on the ankle. Yeah, it's actually NBA news too, because OKC continued to dangle him, his rights in trade talks.
Didn't that stop him?
I think because nobody traded for him because he has all these ridiculous asks about playing time. And he also wanted to be signed for $10 million a year, which no one has anymore. Save the Bulls, I guess. But
yeah, and so just unfortunate to see him go down. And Greece, Kostas Antetokounmpo gets hurt, which I think was very important because he was the primary Jokic defender for the beginning of the game. And it had to go to Thanasis later on.
Yeah.
Thanasis had his moments. Jokic also had his moments.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I think Kostas is a little too small for Jokic. And Thanasis is, 3 inches shorter than he is. So as strong and athletic as he is, it's just like Jokic is going to be able to survey the floor and get shots off whenever he wants. You know,
I will say Thanasis does have more experience guarding Jokic. Remember that game where he started at center?
Wasn't it Greek Day or something?
Yeah, Greek night. Yeah.
Yeah. It did work. That's a great point. But Greece coming into the game without Papagiannis, Yorgos Papagiannis, who has missed this entire thing with an injury suffered in camp, which is unfortunate because, you know, you're down their big center, right? Like, they're really who I assume would have gotten the Jokic assignment at least to start. Kostas doing a pretty good job. You know, had a really nice steal that led to a fast break, had some good moments. Kind of, it looked like he pulled something in his thigh or hip area going up for a rebound. Doesn't return, doesn't play against Belgium either. So Greece really operating now with no true centers. I mean, you have Giannis, which helps. Thanasis a little bit plays there. But I think certainly, you know, Serbia continued to find more contributors after Micić went down. Greece, you could really tell, was missing the big men.
Do we know what the injury to Kostas is?
All I've seen so far is not expected to be that severe. I'll do another search here, but I have not seen that much come out yet.
Okay. And hopefully for Greece, we get to see Papagiannis play as Eurobasket starts to get underway this week. But this game, like, obviously mentioned by injury, but we still had Giannis, we still had Jokic going at it. And like you mentioned, like Greece did a very good job to send this game into overtime, because like you mentioned, they had a pretty sizable lead, but then Greece kept on chipping away at it. And eventually it gets down to like a 5-point game or something. Thanasis hits a three. Jokic goes 1-of-2 at the line. Then you get Tyler Dorsey hitting a contested three that could have been called a foul. They could have called a foul on that 3-point attempt, which would have given Tyler Dorsey an opportunity to send to put Greece up with a free throw, but he didn't. The shot falls anyway. And this team goes, the game goes to overtime, and Serbia eventually overpowers Greece in OT. But it was an impressive showing from the Greek national team.
Yeah, Kostas, according to Basket News, citing a Greek Basketball Federation report, it was a problem with his patellar tendon of the right leg. So that's all we really know. He landed awkwardly going up for actually a really impressive rebound. So unfortunate for Kostas. Hopefully not too serious, but I don't think we have any more info than that right now.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with knee injuries.
Yeah, certainly not. So hopefully he's able to play again. So I think overall, everyone, including Eugene Hortsu, follow at Eugene Hortsu on Twitter. Horsutoglu is Eugene's full name, but the @ is a little shorter. Eugene Hortsu, our assistant producer here on the Eurostep, who has been sharing a lot of insight on the games and the Greek team, as of course Eugene is Greek, lives in Greece, and is a huge fan of the team and has been watching them even closer than us. So make sure you're following Eugene. We'll have to have him back when we're breaking down the Eurobasket games. But yeah, hopefully nothing too serious for Kostas. He has impressed pretty much everyone stepping in for Papagiannis, and I think playing quite well. And even a report came out that the Bulls were interested in him. Maybe, you know, conveniently that came out after Giannis had his Bulls thing that we talked about last week. But certainly... he deserves an NBA shot. I think he has looked like an NBA player a lot during these windows so far.
No, he's looked really, really like solid. He looks like he could be an NBA player. Obviously, he has been one in the past, but like, he's showing solid skills, solid defensive skills. His verticality at the rim is impressive. His sense as a roller has been really, really impressive. It's just I keep saying impressive because I have been very, very impressed by what I've seen out of Kostas in these national team games, given the competition level isn't exactly the same. But like, you're going up against Nikola Jokic. Like, he's second best player in the league. He's second best player in the world.
Certainly up there. Yeah.
He's top four for sure.
Yeah.
He's not four.
No doubt.
So it's not like we're seeing him go up against like Alperen Şengün or someone. Like,
oh, that's still impressive too. Yeah, Şengün's played well. Yeah,
I know. But if we're comparing like NBA players in international competition, like Şengün versus Jokic, I don't know what. Like,
It's not like we're seeing Kostas put up 10-8 against Belgium and like, oh my god, this is incredible. Yes. No offense to Belgium, who Greece dispatched in game two. We probably won't go too deep into that game. But before we get there, just the Greece Serbia game again. Giannis, I think, continues to look extremely comfortable. Like, he had a flop technical at one point because he went down too easy around a screen. I think he had a carry at one point that probably was a carry. It's just not something that would get called in the NBA.
Yeah, because in the end, to be clear, like, there's no gather step rule in FIBA.
Right. So yeah, he kind of moved while gathering and they've whistled him for it. But overall, it's been pretty seamless, Giannis. I think the three ball comes and goes just like it does in the NBA. The pull-up stuff from closer, though, continues to look really good. And I do still, we've talked about this a bunch, that and the free throws are more important to Giannis than the three. It's great when he hits threes. I think he's going to continue to take a few every game. Oftentimes for him, it almost seems more like an arm punt, kind of. Like, I'm exhausted, no one else is doing anything, I'll just take a quick three. And sometimes they go in, which is great. But 70% from free throw in this game in Serbia, which was awesome. And
especially because he started like 9 of 9 or something.
I think it was 8 of 8 before he missed 2 in a row.
Oh, okay.
And then kind of split from there. But still, yeah, certainly a great start for him shooting the free throws. But the mid-range pull-ups have been really exciting. Like, obviously we knew we were going to see a lot of plays where Giannis gets to the rim and dunks easily. This happens in the NBA too. Of course it was going to happen against, you know, a more physical game, but maybe less athletic competition overall than he sees in the NBA. So those plays are awesome too. It's really fun to watch Giannis dunk on people. But the skill stuff has been even more encouraging for me. And not that we ever had a question, but like, it's just good to see Giannis continue to refine his game.
Are you telling me that he actually improves, Ty? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I believe I am, after we put up 40 and 40 minutes against Serbia. I do have one more thought on this game, but do you have anything else on Giannis or any of your own thoughts on Serbia-Greece?
I just thought it was a very entertaining game.
Yeah.
For that. Like, super, super intense. Like, obviously, we've talked about this up top, but it was in Serbia. It's just good to see these guys show out in this sort of atmosphere. This, because it's different. It's different than the NBA. You play with a different intensity. You play with a different attitude. It's great basketball.
Yeah, it really is. So my, like, I guess, analytic or strategic look at this game, Greece's success in FIBA World Cup, should they qualify, and again, they're going to need to win some games without Giannis in November and in February. They are
Anthanasis.
And maybe the other Kalidzakis and Tyler Dorsey, who is in the NBA as well, on a two-way deal.
Mavs two-way.
Looks like an interesting player. But Greece is second in their group, 4-2. Latvia is 5-1. Belgium and Serbia both 3-3. Turkey 2-4. Great Britain 1-5. So there are four more games remaining for all the teams spread out across two windows, just like this one. Greece does not have easy games. I believe they play Belgium, Latvia, maybe. No, I think they play Belgium, Latvia, Turkey, and Serbia. Or maybe they play one of those teams twice. I know they do not play Great Britain, which is unfortunate, as Great Britain is the weakest team in the group. So Greece is going to need to win some of these games without the NBA guys. And potentially some other league guys as well. I don't know exactly how. I know it's easier for the European players to play when they're doing these competitions, but I'm not sure how much easier, right? We'll see. But it'll certainly be worth following, at least from afar, in November and February to make sure that Greece does qualify for the FIBA World Cup. If they do, we'll get to see Giannis and company about a year from now in August of 2023 playing another competition, which would be really fun.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and then potentially see them the year after in the Olympics.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of it. The Bucks fans who get nervous about international competition, not going to be excited about some of this, but we certainly hope.
Three straight years.
We certainly hope that Giannis qualifies and is able to play.
I mean, if they win Eurobasket, they're in the Olympics.
Yeah, and there's other ways to qualify too, right?
Yes, there are, but like that's straight up.
Yeah. Get to Eurobasket in a second, but I think Greece's success with Giannis in a FIBA World Cup, in the Olympics, in Eurobasket, which is coming up this week already, it's going to come down to the guard play. I think we've seen against great teams, against not great teams, and this is kind of true for the Bucks against most teams to an extent as well. Giannis is going to be Giannis. I mean, he had 40 points in 40 minutes, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, everything else. The guy's a wrecking ball. I basically played his minutes to a draw. I think probably would have won his minutes if they had more consistent play from Nick Kalathis, your sworn enemy who did not play well whatsoever. Kalathis was 2 for 8 from the field, 1 for 5 from 2. He did have 8 assists, but he also had 5 turnovers. Just took some really bad shots, was having that issue where he doesn't pass to Giannis enough. Tyler Dorsey, on the other hand, I think played pretty well, made that clutch shot, had 16 points, did take him 14 shots though, but 4 for 10 from deep, 3 assists, 3 turnovers. We've seen some playmaking from Dorsey, not a ton. I'd like to see a little bit more, but certainly he's more of a two guard than a point. But I mean, if Kalathis plays this bad, they're going to have a lot of trouble beating the Serbias and, you know, Slovenias and other great teams here in Europe. They're going to need better guard play. There's no two ways about it. As great as Giannis is, I think that could hold Greece back. So it really going to be fascinating to watch, you know, as they get started in these Eurobasket. Their group is not that strong, but really the next time they play a stronger team, how Dorsey and Kalathis play, because I do think Greece's fortunes probably come down to those two guys. Plus getting the centers healthy, that'll help too. But I think the guard play is going to be crucial here, just like it always is on teams with Giannis.
Especially like in European style basketball, where playmaking is so important. You mentioned like the Slovenias, the Serbias of the world, their best players are elite playmakers. Like Luka and Jokic are elite playmakers. You need to be able to have someone who can be a solid playmaker. Like, obviously, Giannis can be that if he needs to be. But he's the one who should be finishing, not the one playmaking in this situation. Because obviously, like, he's the best player. He's their best finisher. Like, it's not like with Slovenia or Serbia. Let's take Serbia, for instance. Like, Serbia's supporting cast was absolutely great in this game because they were hitting their shots. Greece, you cannot count on every one of their, like, secondary, tertiary players to make their shots. Like, going 11 of 20 from 3, 55% from 3 for Serbia in this game, it's ridiculous because you can't help off Jokic, but you also can't contest the shooters as well. That's what makes Jokic such a great player. And you saw it on full display. Like, you need to be able to have someone who can pull gravity towards a defense. Greece just doesn't have that type of guy right now. Like, especially when Kalathis is playing like this. Like, ideally you do have these players. Ideally, like Tyler Dorsey, Sloukas, Kalathis, Papanikolaou, these type of guys. Like, they theoretically can be good spacers, be good floor spacers for Giannis and be good playmakers. They just weren't in this game. So, like, you were spot on. You need to get the guard play up. You need to be able to see, like, competent playmaking, competent decision-making, good shot IQ. That's how Greece is going to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, even you mentioned Luka and Jokic, but, like, Misic was 3 for 4 from the field with 3 assists in 12 minutes before he went down. Like, for Slovenia's side, and they somehow lost to Germany, which is pretty surprising, but, you know, they have a guy, even though he may be NBA washed, in Goran Dragic, who has, I believe, been Eurobasket MVP before, and he and Luka are one hell of a 1-2 punch. So
they're the reigning champs.
Yeah, and reigning champs. It'll be fun to watch them play this year. So, you know, Greece just needs Kalathis and Dorsey to be more consistent. I think Dorsey has been pretty good overall, not great, but I think, you know, Kalathis was seen coming in as kind of that guy and just was not against Serbia. Still had 8 assists and still is, like, a wonderful playmaker. There's several plays every game where he sets up Giannis, Thanasis, Kostas, etc. in great positions to score. Just has to be more consistent. Just way too many wasted possessions against Serbia. And I think it really did cost the Greek team in that game. Sloukas wasn't effective. 1 for 4 in 22 minutes. Papanikolaou has really had some moments, but again, 8 points in 38 minutes for him. Just was not that productive offensively. you know, Thanasis really did. I mean, the two threes he made, they might have both been on possessions where he first missed a three and then the ball got back to him. But still,
hey, he made it though.
Still a productive possession.
40% from three.
Yeah, 100% from two, 3 for 3 there, had an assist, 5 fouls, which is very Thanasis, but also 5 rebounds, 4 of them offensive. So really crashing the glass against
Serbia.
He
was great. He was really, really good.
His energy helped keep them in the game.
Exactly. Like he hit a clutch three within the last 2 minutes to help send it to overtime.
Yeah.
Like it was a catch and shoot wing three, I think.
Yeah.
And like he was solid. You can't complain about his performance. Like he was the third leading scorer for the Greek national team in this game.
Yeah. And he followed it up by, I think, being 5th top 5 scorer against Belgium. Again, in a game that simply not as contested or as – I mean, all games are important now, but Greece beats Belgium 85-68. Giannis only needs to log 27 minutes in this one, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 turnovers, 2 steals for the Greek Freak. They actually only win his minutes by 6. Thanasis plus 18, tied for team high with Tyler Dorsey. TA again was 1 for 2 from deep, continues to shoot the ball relatively well. But Kalaitis played much better. Tyler Dorsey was really good, 4 for 11 from the field, scored 22 points, so second only to Giannis for the second straight game. Tyler Dorsey really kind of is scoring, making a big impact here. But Belgium, you know, despite playing well in the group stages so far, just does not have the guys to hang with Giannis quite clearly. And we saw this. Who was the other game? Was it in? I mean, really, no teams that have played him. We saw them play a weaker opponent in Acropolis, too, no?
Georgia?
No, Giannis didn't play against Georgia. Who was the first team they played? Now I don't remember.
It was Turkey? No, not Turkey.
No, because I think Turkey's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Maybe it was. No, they played Turkey without him, too. Who else did they play? They did win the Acropolis tournament, which is great.
Yeah, who was the first game against? Why can't I remember?
Poland.
That's who.
I think Belgium is better than Poland. I think Belgium has some better players, but kind of the same energy of just like there's no one on those teams who's fit to be same league as Giannis, quite literally.
Literally, because there's no NBA players.
Yeah. Which it doesn't mean that there's no NBA quality players, but there's no one who can hang with Giannis on those teams.
Exactly. Which it's tough to do for NBA guys, much less guys who aren't even in the league.
Yeah. So pretty much the expected result there. But I remember in our preview pod with Eugene, he said, look, Greece may be better than a lot of teams they play, but they really need to handle business. So nice to see, you know, no drama here. They beat Belgium. They secure the win, go 1-1 this window, put themselves in a good spot to qualify for the 2023 FIBA World Cup, which is all you can ask for.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sure, you lose that game against Serbia, but that's a tough game. Serbia needed to win it. Sometimes you just get outplayed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think Serbia needing to win it was they played like it. They played like everything was on the line and honestly could not believe Greece got it to overtime. From there, I think they just were out of gas, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It was all spent trying to get the game into overtime, which would have been so good if they actually called that foul. But there's no chance they're calling that shooting foul in Serbia. There's
yeah,
no
not shot. There. Not there.
Like the exactly. Refs might actually be scared of what's going to happen to them after.
Don't think
I'm not even taking that in jest. Like,
yeah, no, seriously. I don't think you are either.
Obviously, after these games, like the next games are EuroBasket. EuroBasket is starting up this week. It starts on Thursday, September 1st. For the entire thing, Greece does not play their first game until Friday, September 2nd. But this is it, Ty. This is EuroBasket. This is where it's put up or shut up time.
Yes. So on that same theme of Eugene's idea that Greece just needs to take care of business, they just need to continue doing that. So how it works is there are how many groups? 6? No, 4. Yeah. Just 4 groups of EuroBasket. 4 groups of 6. That's where I got 6 from. So really, I mean, you're talking about 24 teams. There are a lot of teams who are not in the upper tier. Obviously, that's how tiers work. But, you know, for example, Serbia's group is them, Poland, the Netherlands, Israel, Finland, and Czech Republic. So Finland's played well in this window. I think Czech has played okay, Czech Republic. But Serbia clearly a cut above the other teams. Same for Greece, who's in a group with Croatia, who's had some moments, Estonia, Great Britain, Italy, and Ukraine. So both of those teams should finish first in this group stage before we get to the knockout phase. If they do, they would then meet in the finals, which would be pretty epic. The other groups are Group A, Belgium, Bulgaria, Georgia, Montenegro, Spain, and Turkey. Kind of like Turkey's chances in that group after Spain has not looked that great so far, but we'll see. And then Group B is Bosnia and Herzegovina, France, Germany, Hungary, Lithuania, Slovenia. That's going to be a fun group. Germany has played well. France is good. Slovenia is good. Gobert versus Luka and Dragic. That'll be a fun one to watch. And Wemby's playing too, right?
Did you see Nurkic's dunk yesterday?
No, I didn't.
In Bosnia?
Oh, man.
He absolutely postered a dude.
Yeah, I don't know. Group B seems a little unfairly loaded. Like, there's going to be teams that don't make it out of Group B, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, two teams aren't going to make it out.
I guess.
If I had to bet right now, it's probably Hungary.
Hungary and Lithuania, yeah. So I guess the four, but you never know. I mean, one of those top four could slide out, and they probably shouldn't. Like, I think if you put any of Bosnia and Herzegovina, France, Germany, Slovenia, maybe not Germany, but I actually think any of those four would easily make it out of one of the other groups.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But
it's going to be pretty simple. You would hope that Greece and Serbia take care of business in their respective groups because, let's be honest, those two are probably like the two favorites.
Them are Slovenia, reigning champ Slovenia. with Luka. I'm sure they're up
those
there.
Those are the top three for sure.
Yeah.
France, obviously.
France is up there. Four.
Yeah, like those are the top four and two of them are in the same group.
The complicating factor, I think, will be back-to-back. So here is the Greek schedule. We have not seen Giannis play in a back-to-back yet, or even we haven't seen him play with one day off either, right? The Acropolis tournament, he didn't play either of the last two games. I'm trying to think in the friendlies if he did, but I don't think so. The Spain games were – yeah, he didn't play the second one, did he?
No, he only played in the first one.
Yeah, so I think pretty unlikely he plays either of these back-to-backs. I think Greece should be able to take care of business anyway, but Friday, September 2nd, they play Croatia. All games on ESPN Plus. So everyone, I might just draft a forum response, people who ask me on Twitter. I'm not upset. I get it. Everyone wants to watch Giannis. You know, Google does exist, but all games on ESPN Plus. So it's really simple. Friday, September 2, Croatia, 9:50 a.m. I'll do all times in Central. Then the next day, Saturday afternoon versus Italy at 2:50 p.m. Monday, September 5th, they take on Great Britain, again at 9:50. Tuesday, September 6th, they take on Ukraine at 9:50. And then Thursday, September 8th, Greece takes on Estonia at 9:50 a.m. So I would imagine Giannis probably plays in three of these games, if I had to guess. Friday against Croatia, Monday against Great Britain, and Thursday against Estonia to get a couple days off between each game. That, I think, makes the most sense, but we'll see what the Bucks coaches over there and the Greek team elects to do.
Yeah, all of these games are in Italy as well.
Yeah, they are in Milan every game, so safe bet Bud will be there as he continues his epic basketball journey slash vacation.
He should have just joined the coaching staff, man. Like,
he doesn't want to work that much, though. He doesn't have to get up early.
He's there anyway.
Yeah, but he probably rolls up a little late. You know, gets a little latte, does Bud stuff.
Oh, come on, this is Bud we're talking about.
I don't know, man. I think Bud might enjoy sleeping in over in Italy.
Like, bleeds basketball.
He does. He does.
Like, he's there. He's watching every game. He's taking in Georgia-Turkey games or Georgia-Poland games.
Maybe that's why. Maybe he didn't want to discriminate against Mamu.
Oh, he should just coach Georgia, then.
No, because he certainly doesn't want to discriminate against Giannis. I mean, let's be logical here.
Well, you got Oppenheimer on the Greece national team, so it's fine.
I don't know if that's an equal fit. I think he's just enjoying himself. Doesn't have all the rigor of actually being on the staff out there. It's probably more fun for him to like shadow than it is to actually coach the team anyway.
Yeah, and he'll probably like give his thoughts to the coaching staff anyway.
And to Giannis, I'm sure.
Yeah. But no, all of these games are in Italy. At least for the group stage.
For the group stage, yeah.
Yeah, they're all in Italy. We do think both, like, Greece should come first. Do you think there's any chance they don't come first?
No, I think they could.
Giannis might not play.
I think they could drop a game, right? I think they could. One of the games Giannis doesn't play, if he plays three of the games. And maybe he plays more. I mean, maybe he takes these games more seriously. He did play in both of the World Cup qualifiers. All of the games he's skipped or sat out with, and Greece always does an injury designation that scares Bucks fans for some reason. But all of those games were friendlies, so they counted for nothing. He has not yet missed a game that counts. It's basically just the two World Cup qualifiers, but that's all that he's played both. So we'll see. Maybe he does end up playing in more than we expect. But I think even if Greece loses a game, which I think would be probably expected just because it's hard to win all those games if Giannis doesn't play two of them. I mean, they'd be, what, 4-1? So they to not finish first, they would need to lose to another team that also goes 4-1 or have a team go 5-0. And I just feel like the rest of these teams should be competitive enough that they split a few games. So, like,
competitive enough in the sense like they're at the same level.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. So I think Greece is pretty high up. I think the other five teams in their group are somewhat similar. Like, I think GB is not very good. Croatia maybe could test them. Italy, I mean, now, though, without Danilo Gallinari for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, after unfortunate.
Is that MCL?
I don't know. I did not see
it. He's expected to be back early in the NBA season, but probably will miss camp with Boston, too. Injured himself. Not supposed to be super serious, but it is.
Did you see that meniscus. Picture of his knee?
Meniscus. It's a meniscus. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It didn't damage the... No, I didn't.
It's like someone took a picture, like took a frame of when it actually exploded. It's wild.
I don't like watching those. But yeah, so Italy, unfortunately, hosting this group, but without Gallo, which is a big blow to Italy. They still have, what's that shooter? I always forget his name. He came over for a couple years to the NBA. I don't know. He'll have to be their best player without Gallo, though. But yeah, I think even if Greece goes 4-1, which they should go 5-0, I think they are just better. I still think they would win the group and then be first, which is a big deal. I think you do certainly want that to avoid Serbia, at least, until a potential championship, which would be epic.
Who's on this team? Who's on Italy's team? I'm looking it up right now. Nico Mannion?
Yeah, no, that's not who I'm thinking of. He's here right now too, but
is he still in the league?
Maybe he's not anymore, actually. Oh my God, Luigi Datome is not who I was thinking of, but he used to play in the NBA for the Knicks.
Nicolò
Melli.
Yeah, they still got some players for sure, but.
Yeah, I think that's most of the countries, and Croatia has some pretty good players as well. But it's just the Greek team should be able to take care of business.
You would hope, you would think. So, assuming that Greece wins Group C, they would then play on it, like for the knockout stage. They would play the fourth team in Group D, which was Serbia's group. And assuming Serbia wins that group, that's not going to be Serbia. It could be, let's see, who could it be? Let me make a prediction. Maybe Czech Republic, Netherlands, maybe?
For the fourth team in the group?
Yeah, I say Finland comes second.
Yeah, Finland's played third. Well.
I mean, they got Markkanen.
Yeah, the finisher.
Yeah.
Did you see Jordan Clarkson balling out for the Philippines?
Oh,
different
yeah,
competition, but Jordan Clarkson is getting buckets. I think they're also
he's throwing full court oops to Kai Soto. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I could see. I mean, Poland's played not that well. Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll probably be Serbia, Finland, Czech Republic, and then who gets out from there? I think Netherlands is a good bet.
Yeah, probably the Netherlands. Either way, it's not going to be anyone super impressive, and Greece should win that game.
Yeah.
Theoretically. So then who would they play next? They would play the winner of B2 versus A3. So that's where you sort of get into you could potentially play like a team that's decent. Like B2, we talked about B2. That's probably gonna be
their first real test.
Could be Slovenia. Could be Slovenia. Because if you assume like France or Slovenia is 1-2, like the other one's going to be 2.
It's likely Slovenia, France, A3. That's who B2 has to beat A3, you said?
Yeah.
So that could be Mamu.
It could be.
Spain and Turkey feel like the top two in Group A. Yeah, it's probably going to be B. Hey, you never know. I'm not putting anything out of Mamu's realm of accomplishment. But yeah, I think France or Slovenia in the second round would be quite a matchup.
Yeah, and you could see Greece go out. in that
game. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Because you're going to be playing against like super, super talented people. Like we mentioned, Slovenia is going to have, like, they're the reigning champs. They're going to have Dragic. They're going to have Luka. France is going to have Gobert. They have Fournier. Who else? Who else do they have?
Wembanyama, right?
Is he playing for them?
I thought he was. Could be wrong.
I mean, fair enough. If he is, that's ridiculous.
Let me look. Let's see. Most recent game, they lost to Bosnia.
Yeah, what's his name? Nurkic had that amazing dunk because he didn't dunk on Gobert. I know that.
Who is John Roberson? 18 in that game. Not sure who that is.
Who?
They have Gershon Yabusele. Oh, maybe they don't have Wemby. Maybe that's next time. I thought they did have him, but I'm not seeing him. At least he didn't play in that game. But France has Gobert, TLC, Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, Evan Fournier, Vincent Poirier. A lot of Celtics are former Celtics.
Yeah.
Gershon Yabusele is the guy I said. He had 16 against Bosnia. Elliot Kobo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got some – like this – that's a very, very talented team. France is well-coached. They, all these players have been around the team for a while now. It's going to be – it'll be a tough matchup for sure. Like, that's the first real, real test for Team Greece.
Yeah, it should be that second game of the knockout stage. You would hope that they get through the knockout games, you know, at least 4-1, and then they should be able to get through that first round pretty easily as well.
Yes.
Oh, France also has Théo Maledon.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So a lot of players. Team. It is.
That is a stack team for sure. But we know Giannis loves to go at Gobert, so.
And who can blame him?
Who can blame them for sure? Do we have anything else we need to mention about Eurobasket?
I don't think so. I'm excited for it to start, quite honestly.
Yeah, Greece plays their first game on Friday, as we mentioned, against who is it?
Friday's game is against Croatia. So
Croatia.
The first two games are probably the best two, which is unfortunate. So I think, yeah, if they start out 2-0, that's really impressive. But versus Croatia, versus Italy, on the back-to-back. So if Giannis doesn't play both, that Italy game I'd probably pencil as their most likely loss. But the Croatia game should be fun. That's a team that has Mario Hezonja, Dragan Bender, old friend, Ivica Zubac, and Bojan Bogdanovic. So that is – shouldn't underrate Croatia. Squad. That'll be a really good – that's probably the best game of the group no matter what. Or the group for stage sure. For Greece, I should say.
Yeah.
The best game overall is going to be Slovenia-France, which should be a blast.
But I'd still take Giannis and the Greek team over that team.
Who the hell is on Finland? That Croatia team lost by 2 to Finland.
Markkanen's a beast, man.
Oh yeah, Markkanen. But still, is it the only guy we recognize? Yeah, he had 19.
He's the only Finnish born player to play in the league.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they just have a bunch of just Finnish guys balling out. Alexander Madsen had 10. Sasu Salin had 14. Yeah, they had a bunch of guys with around 8, 7. Shout out to Finland. That's fun.
Yeah, just a well put together team.
And I saw Sweden beat somebody who's, I think Sweden might have beat France.
What?
No, maybe not. Germany did. No, Germany beat Slovenia. Now it's hard for me to keep track of everything.
These teams are losing. That's all I'm saying. Like, and they're playing their guys. Like, I don't think Luka's missed a game. I don't think Gobert's missed a game.
No, Dragic did not look great in the loss to Germany, that's for sure. No, I lied. Lost. Sweden beat Israel, which is less impressive. They hung in with Slovenia, though. Oh, that was in November 21. I'm all over the place now. I'm getting lost.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're getting lost in the sauce. This is not our area of expertise.
I was right. They did hang with Slovenia. Sorry. It was July 3rd. They played them again. It was 84-81. I thought I remembered seeing that. So they were really close. It was in Stockholm, but they almost beat Slovenia.
Okay, go off. Go off, Sweden.
But then they only scored 50 points in a 17-point loss to Germany. So maybe the ups and downs for Team Sweden this year.
Yeah, for sure. There's some home cooking, I'm sure, against Slovenia.
Yeah, but they did. They beat Israel in Israel, so that should count for something.
Sure. Do we have any other Sweden takes, Ty?
No, they got blown out by Finland in June.
I'm noticing a trend here with all the home teams winning.
Oh, I think they beat Slovenia without Slovenia's guys because that was July 3rd. So I don't know if they were playing yet. So that might be a lot of the reason there. That was the last window. Dragic was there. Oh, Luka was there too. Wow. I didn't remember those guys playing in early July.
Yeah, I don't know. Time has been weird this summer.
Yeah.
But like I said, first game for Team Greece is against Croatia on Friday at 9:50 a.m.?
At 9:50 a.m. for every game except the Italy game on Saturday at 2:50 p.m. All on ESPN+.
Yep. So we will continue to watch these games, check in on the Greek national team. We'll probably do another podcast after the group stage.
Yep.
But yeah, any other last parting thoughts here, Todd?
No, I'm excited for more basketball. Brewers won a series. Go subscribe to Cruising for a Bruising
as
well.
This is an important stretch.
It's a huge stretch. I think there's 30-some games left in the season. Brewers currently on the outside looking in of the NL Wild Card and the NL Central. But still possible that they get in. They have a lot of home games, a lot of games against bad teams, which has not been great for the Brewers. But
their next 15 games are against teams below 500.
I tweeted this before the Cubs series. It's up to them if they want to make the playoffs now. Because obviously it's not literally in their hands, but take care of business often and they'll have a pretty good shot to get in there. But you got to do it. So, but it's been nice on the bad Brewers days especially to get some distraction from that team with the FIBA World Cup qualifiers and the friendlies and the Acropolis tournament. And looking forward to more Giannis basketball, which, I mean, how can you not enjoy watching Giannis Antetokounmpo play basketball?
Anthanasis.
And also, Tyler Dorsey.
Hey, no, the Greek team, like the Greek fans shout louder for Thanasis than they do Giannis. They're my type of people.
Oh, yeah. They're all about it. I mean, listen, that heart, that energy, that translates everywhere.
Game recognizes game. That's all I'll say.
Exactly.
but no, thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Eurostep Podcast Network. If you did enjoy, make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this or watching this on YouTube. Make sure you leave a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice, 5 stars. Leave a review if you want to. Please do. Make sure you check out Cruising for a Bruising, Talk of the Tundra. Make time for this. GSPN is all over the place now. We got all major Wisconsin sports covered and more. So make sure you check out all the GSPN feeds. Just everything you want. GSPN.info is where you'll find every single GSPN link that you could ever ask for in life. Pod Random, and we will talk to you next time.